Thanks, Charlie. I like that, 2 years. Well, good morning. It's really great to be at Freo this morning. And so Pastor Nigel and Andrea are at the Wellard campus. They're down there preaching and encouraging the people down there. So it's good to be here. It's good to see you all. And just really pray that this message is one that blesses you and strengthens you. And yeah, just that's my prayer this morning. Let's actually pray before we start to get into the Word. Father God, I thank you for your Word. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the Word and Jesus is everything to us, Father God, and your Word is truth and life and blessing to us, Father God. And so I pray, Father, for your people this morning as we hear your Word. Lord, that our hearts would receive it, Father God, into our spirits, Lord, and Father, that we would know the authority that we have in your Word, Father God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So this message this morning, we're doing a series called Made for More. This is part two. I think we're doing four parts, but this is part two. And we're going through the book of 2 Timothy. You know, I love how we can really spend time just in one particular book and really open it up and unpack it and find out all that's in one particular book in a deep way. And so this letter that Paul writes to Timothy, Paul is around 60 or 61 years of age when he's writing this letter, and Timothy at the time would have been about 35 years of age. Now, Timothy was seen as someone who was youth, he was youthful. And in the Greek times, or the Greek word for this youth, it actually refers to people who were up until the age of 40, which was very encouraging for me because I'm now a young adult. It's very good. So Timothy is a 35-year-old. He's considered, you know, youthful. And Paul is writing to encourage Timothy to keep persevering in teaching and preaching and you know, carrying the gospel and building the church. So Paul is writing from a prison. He knows that he only has maybe a year or two left to live. He knows that the prison that he is in is actually a holding cell for being executed. He was falsely accused and persecuted. He was persecuted by Emperor Nero, and so he's in this dungeon. Now, Roman historians describe this prison as one of the most terrifying and hideous experiences anyone could experience. So it's dark, there's no windows. It's actually in, you know, kind of in the ground. It's like a cave. The food was dropped through the roof. You can imagine the smell would have been awful. This is where Paul is writing from. And he knows that he will be facing death very, very soon. So this letter that he is writing to Timothy is the last letter that he writes, the last words that he is penning to paper. And so this letter comes with passion and urgency. Passion and urgency. It's a passionate plea to Timothy to keep persevering. Paul was concerned about the well-being of the church. He was concerned about how the gospel would continue, how people would continue to hear the word of God. So this is the passionate plea that Paul is writing to Timothy with, to encourage Timothy to keep going, to endure, to keep guarding the gospel and spread the good news and teach and preach at the church that Timothy was leading and pastoring in Ephesus. So Paul didn't marry, he didn't have any children, but the relationship he had with Timothy was one like that of a father to a son. And so this letter is personal. You know, he writes to Timothy, "My dear son." This is a personal, passionate letter. Okay. So we know that Paul did about four missionary journeys. He travelled, I think the historians say, about 10,000 miles. You know, he did incredible things for the Lord and taught and preached in so many places. And I was thinking, for our time, who do we have that has been influential in spreading the gospel? And two people came to mind that have been influential in my life, and they have done incredible things for spreading the gospel. And one is Billy Graham. Who knows Billy Graham? Yeah. So when I was a very new Christian, he actually had a crusade in Perth, and I went to that, and I remember quite clearly the powerful anointing that was upon him at that time. So Billy Graham, he died a couple of years ago, and another one is Ravi Zacharias. Who's heard of Ravi? Yes, yeah. So an Indian preacher, incredible teacher and preacher. He's ministered to people in over 70 countries. His ministry was over, you know, about around 50 years. And, you know, he only died in May this year, 74 years of age. And Billy Graham, they say that over 3.2 million people accepted Jesus Christ because of his teaching and preaching. 3.2 million. And with his ministries that he did, it's you know, recorded that there's been over 2.5 billion people who has experienced the teaching and preaching of Billy Graham. Incredible people. So when you know that you are writing the last words that you'll ever write, we can be confident that the words in 2 Timothy are words that write home to what is the most important message that could be communicated. And that is the grace of God, the gospel, and to be learning and teaching the word of God. So we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs along with me, of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labour. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. That first greeting that Paul writes to Timothy, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus Christ. Be strong in God's grace. Jesus is grace. We know that grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned, freely given by Christ. Grace is our divine help. It's an unmerited gift of assistance that comes from God and an unmerited favor of God towards us that is in Christ Jesus that gives us a boldness and a confidence. God's grace. These last few months, we have been, you know, not being able to come to church as we can now. And even just, you know, returning back to life. I mean, I know this season for a lot of us, it's actually been busier than ever. I can attest it's been one of the busiest times that I've gone through. And, you know, we can be a bit tired and worn out. And it's God's grace who strengthens us. It's when we have time in his presence. It's when we are praying. You know, Paul, when he was imprisoned, he prayed day and night. And I really believe that through that time of prayer and being in the word of God and being in God's presence, even though he was isolated in that dungeon, that it was the grace of God that gave him the strength to keep writing to Timothy, to keep praying. And, you know, we need to hold on to the fact that a couple of minutes of being in his presence, of just shooting up that prayer to God, Lord, I need your strength. God, I need you. That his grace is over you. His grace is over you. His grace is in you. And he strengthens you to do the things that he needs you to do. Be strong in God's grace. when we have received the gift, the free gift of salvation through the grace of God that is in Jesus, we can be strong through his grace that God has available to us. Now, I know for myself this past week has been exhausting, and I think I had a few minutes before I was seeing a client on Friday for counselling, and I just took those 5 minutes just to praise God, just to thank him for his grace, just to thank him for his wisdom, just to put my hands out and just allow the peace of God and the grace of God to fill my heart and my mind and my spirit. It was just a few minutes, and in those few minutes, that strengthened me to keep going, to endure, to actually have the energy and the ability to do what he was calling me to do. His grace is powerful. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10 says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Who knows that your grace is, that God's grace is sufficient for you? You know that when you're reading the word, feeding on his word, feeding in his presence, you know, you can do this anywhere. Paul did this from a dungeon. If Paul can do that from a dungeon, we can do this anywhere we are. That we can just open our hearts to him. We can come to the feet of Jesus. We can come to a place of going, Lord, I need you. I need your strength. I need your grace today. And I know that your grace is sufficient for me. Amen. Amen. Okay. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. What are you weak in today? What area of your life do you need God's power and strength for today? Just come to him. Come to him and receive the strength that he gives you by his grace. And Isaiah 40, 31, which is pretty much our scripture for the year for our vision of stronger. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Putting our trust in the Lord gives us strength. We trust him. We surrender everything to him. We know that he is sovereign. He is God. His grace will sustain you. He will strengthen you. And you'll be able to do things with ease. Even though we're returning to life and life will not be the same, it's not meant to be the same, it is different. There are many things that are the same, but there's also many things that are different. That as we know and experience the grace of God through prayer, through his presence, through the word of God, that we can do things with ease. We can do things with ease because the grace of God is upon us. It's not a burden. It's not an effort when we have his grace to strengthen us. And we need to know the authority that we actually have in the word. You know, Ephesians 1 verse 3 talks about what we have available to us through God's grace. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All of the riches of Christ are ours because we are in him. The authority of the word of God, you need to know what power is in the word of God. And that we have every spiritual blessing available to us. We just need to receive it. We just need to open our arms and our hearts to God and receive the spiritual blessings that he has for us. So it wasn't Timothy's own limited and inadequate strength that he drew upon, but it was the fathomless and immeasurable strength of God alone, which is poured out in rich abundance. It was poured out in rich abundance onto Timothy, but it's also poured out in rich abundance onto you to receive today. By faith. By faith. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and we know now that we can have strength through the grace of God. But what is that for? Well, Paul writes on to say that we need to be a teachable teacher. We need to have a teachable heart to learn, to really have curiosity and delve into the Word of God and understand the Word of God, know the Word of God richly for ourselves so that we can teach others. And that's what the strength through God's grace is for, that we will be able to teach others, that we will be able to spread the gospel and share the Word of God with other people. 2 Timothy 2:2, you have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Trustworthy people, that's people who are faithful. That's what the translation means. Now I know Graham Vert had a Connect last night, and I just love seeing the photos that people post of their Connect and the times where people are coming together to learn and to be taught and to pray together and to hear the Word of God. And Graham is a fantastic teacher. And we need to keep going to people who are gifted in that area. But it doesn't stop there. We need to be teaching others. We need to be sharing that. It doesn't just stop with you of just absorbing everything and receiving all the good things and the good knowledge that other people have studied hard for. We need to share that. And as you allow the grace of God to fill your hearts and your spirits and your mind, He will give you the words to say. You don't need to be concerned about what if I say the wrong thing or what if they reject me? It doesn't matter. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. And so you go with the strength through God's grace to share and teach other people. That's what we're called to do. I'm so thankful for Rebecca, who was a girl who was a believer, a Christian. And, you know, when I was searching for meaning and purpose and why do we have this life? That she was able to patiently listen and answer the questions that I had. And she led me to Christ. But she didn't stop there. She actually took me through a series of studies that were basically an alpha, if you like. It talks about, you know, the foundations of Christianity and forgiveness and sin and all the things that we know so well. And make me memorize scripture, and those scriptures have stayed in my spirit to this day. And then she took me to a local church that was near my home because she lived very far away. She lived in Bassendean and planted me into a house of God. Now I'm so thankful for the foundations that she gave me, that she spent time with me. She taught these things to someone who was just desperate for truth and desperate for God. We're all called to do that. We're all called to walk alongside people. We are all ministers of the gospel. We are all people who have the Christ in us to share and teach who God is, who Christ is. We all have that in us. And God will give you the ability. God will strengthen you by His grace to do those things. Okay, so now we get to the challenging part, which is Paul writing to Timothy to saying, you know, how do we be a teachable teacher? How do we, you know, really do this well? And he likens being a believer, being a follower of Christ, to being one like a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. I'll read the scriptures where it says this. It's verses 3-6. Endure suffering. Who likes to endure suffering? Not me. So the church is being persecuted. This is the suffering that Paul is talking about, and he knew that Timothy would be enduring the same persecution as well. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labour. So being a good soldier, now when you think about a good soldier is willing to lay down anything that is inconsistent with the cause. For us, we put aside those things that are inconsistent with following Christ. Maybe that's the things that we watch on TV. Maybe it's the entertainment that we have been engaging with. Maybe it's, I don't know, whatever it is for you. We put aside those things that are inconsistent with following Christ. And we sacrifice. You know, following Christ requires sacrifice, whether that's time or finances or resources. It requires sacrifice. But God sees your sacrifice. He sees all the things that you do as a good soldier. He sees everything that you do, all the prayers that you pray in private, all the time that you spend in His Word. He sees the sacrifice that you give Him. And being an athlete, now Jared and Amber, I've seen their videos of their workouts and they are like machines. They are, I just see the weights and I go, wow, that's amazing. I remember when we were in isolation that our daughter took us through a 20-minute video workout on our abdomen and legs, and I think I was sore for 3 days after 20 minutes. Jared and Amber are machines. You know, they are focused, they are disciplined. This is what an athlete is like, and they train and they work hard. And they don't break the rules, they don't cheat because they want to, you know, fulfill the goals that they set before them. And being a follower of Christ is like that, that we are disciplined, that we are daily setting aside time to spend time in His Word, to pray, to be focused in our prayers, to be specific in who we're praying for and who we want to come to salvation. We're disciplined, we work hard. And I love how Paul writes to Timothy and says, you know, like a hard-working farmer, you are to enjoy the fruits of your labour. I don't know whether some of you have seen that, you know, Charlie and Helen's daughter, Brianna, is a kids pastor in the UK. And I've seen her devotions, I've seen some of her preaching. I mean, how old is she, Charlie? 20, 21? Just turned 21. Amazing. You know, Charlie and Helen, as her parents, are enjoying the fruit of their labour as they had sown and invested into her and the other children. And what joy it is to see when the work of our labour, as we invest into people, and people are so worth investing into, as we sow the Word of God into people in our lives, that you will see the fruit of that labour. It may be years to come, but you will see that fruit as you sow, as you teach to trustworthy people. God is so good. Charles Spurgeon writes, just going back to being a soldier, that being a good soldier is the bravest of the brave, courageous at all times, who is zealous and does his duty with heart and earnestness. And I know that as we are zealous for the kingdom of God, as we are earnest in all that we do for Him, that we will see many people come to Christ and you will see the fruit of your labour. And you can praise God for what He did in you by His grace that gave you the strength to do it. You know, going back to Billy Graham and Ravi, Billy Graham talks about his mother and how it was his mother who modelled what it meant to follow Christ in these ways that Paul describes as being like a good soldier, hard-working. She worked hard on the farm that they were at, and she modelled hard work, and he saw that. But he also saw that they would have family times of reading the word and praying together. And that she actually prayed for all of her children, her and her husband, Billy's parents, prayed for their children, their four children, that they would have their own salvation and their own relationship with the Lord. And so Billy Graham witnessed that. He experienced that. And my goodness, the fruit of their labour. Wow, astonishing. You don't know what God is going to do in those people that you are investing into. You don't know how big God's plan is for those people that you sow into. So don't underestimate how you are sowing into other people, what God can do with that. And Ravi Zacharias, so he was 17, he was in hospital, he was in a critical condition. He actually tried to commit suicide. He wanted to play cricket or tennis, but he wasn't talented enough. He was doing poorly at school and his father would beat him up, so he was very depressed and thought, well, you know, death is a good option. And he tried to kill himself. And so he's in hospital at 17. He had been to a Youth for Christ event with his sisters and he had given his heart at that time. But as he was in this hospital, one of the Youth for Christ workers, Fred David, came with a Bible to give to Ravi. And his mother was there and she said, look, you know, now's not really the time. It's not really good for you to be here. I mean, Ravi was so dehydrated that he couldn't even pick up the Bible. But Fred David said, no, I believe that I need to be here and I need to share John 14, 16 with Ravi. And this is what then the scripture says, you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he reads on and in verse 19 it says, since I live, you also will live. And that word of God hit Ravi's heart. And from that moment on, he wholly committed his life to the Lord and just spent the rest of his life in pursuit of truth. I know when people describe him as being the kind-hearted, he values people, you can see the grace of God upon him. Fred David believes that his whole purpose was simply just to do that, just to bring that scripture to Ravi. And what profound impact that made on millions and millions of people from that act of obedience, from being strong through God's grace and bringing the word of God to him. Church, can you stand this morning? And I just want you to lift your hands, have open hearts to receive God's grace for you today, to give you strength, to give you wisdom, to give you knowledge, to give you understanding, to know the power that you have available to you through the resurrection Christ that we know, that we have in us. What area of life are you weak in today? Just invite God to come into that space and strengthen you today. Who in your life is God putting on your heart right now that you need to go give a word to, or that you need to start teaching and sharing the gospel with? God will give you the grace to do that. You can trust him that he will work in a powerful and mighty way as you just completely surrender and are obedient and trust him with the assignments that he has for you. Father God, I thank you for all the spiritual blessings that you have available to us. Father God, I thank you that through your word, Lord God, through your presence, through Holy Spirit, Father, that we are so strong by your grace that is in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would equip and you would empower and you would release the power of God in your people today as they share your word to those people who need it. Father God, bless your people today. Pour your blessing out upon your people today, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's praise God one more time. Let's worship him this morning.